This morning we're going to discuss the first set of verses from chapter 24. Very interesting contrast, or not exactly contrast, but Devahuti and Kardama flying around in this Vimana. Chapter 23. For 100 years. They lived together for a long time. And then when he left, it was phew. So, because they were like one another, They both had a similar desire for their pure devotees with parental affection to have the personality of Godhead as their son. This Vimana was created by the mystic power of Kardama for the purpose of having a suitable situation for Devahuti for the purpose of conceiving children. One of them being the personality of Godhead. So, chapter 23 describes, by arrangement of the Supreme Lord, 9 daughters were born all at the same time, or like, I mean, the same pregnancy. Pretty amazing. Those of you that are mothers, imagine that one. And she then starts lamenting. So I just read a little bit from chapter 23. She's understanding that Kardama, now that she's pregnant with the personality of Godhead, Kapila, when she saw her husband was about to leave, she smiled, agitated and distressed. She stood and scratched the ground with her foot, which was radiant with the luster of her gem-like nails. Her head bent down, she spoke in slow yet charming accents, suppressing her tears. Sri Devahuti said, "My Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me. Yet, because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too." Pretty smart lady. "My dear Brahmana, as far as your daughters are concerned, they will find their own suitable husbands and go away to their respective homes. But who will give me solace after your departure as a sannyasi?" So we heard that in chapter 33, how it worked. "Until now, we have simply wasted so much of our time in sense gratification." I mean, tens of thousands of years of intense austerity. She's regretting this other section of time for the purpose of fulfilling their duties as householders and having the Lord as their son. "Neglecting to cultivate knowledge of the Supreme Lord, not knowing your transcendental situation, I have loved you while remaining attached to the objects of the senses. Nonetheless, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. Association for sense gratification is certainly a path of bondage, But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performance do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God, it must be considered dead. Although he is breathing. And the final verse, my Lord, surely I have solidly cheated. I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in spite of having obtained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such liberation. There's an interesting section in Srimad Bhagavatam where if I recall correctly, Narada visits Dwarka and Vasudev takes the opportunity to hear from Narada about the glories of Krishna, because he said, I was, here she's lamenting, I didn't seek liberation. I was so much absorbed in liberation, I didn't take the time or trouble to hear from you on the glories of the Personality of Godhead, who appeared as my son. So could you describe his glories? On the theme of acceptance and progress, it seems unending. That the introspective devotee, there's Vasudev and here's Devahuti feeling profound humility and eagerly seeking to go further. And one might say, well, gee, you know, she's not attached to sense gratification. But she's seeing herself in that way. She's not influenced by the illusory potency of Maya, but she sees herself that way. So what to speak of us that are? And when we see ourselves that way, then what? We could lament, or we could just business as usual, or we could strive to go another step. And what's another doable step? On both sides, the affinity for matter side and the attachment to the Personality Godhead side. Diminish over here and increase over there. And through descending mercy, it becomes possible, and that's what she's asking for. Please bestow upon me fearlessness. This item of fear is directly connected to attachment to the temporary. I mentioned this yesterday. Same context is different, but the same message. Bhagavatam's message is consistent. Bhayam dutiyam abhinivesha taksyat. Through absorption in things that are seen as not connected with Krishna, because everything is connected with Krishna. But if we see things as not connected with Krishna and become absorbed in them, the way that we would get absorbed in them is as an enjoyer of them, because they don't belong to Krishna, they can belong to me. So I become absorbed in the temporary, in the mood of an enjoyer, the imitation Purusha, because there is a real Purusha. If we take the imitation Purusha position, it's Maya, and there's fear. So she's very clear. She's requesting fearlessness, saying it's through attachment to you, fearlessness comes. And now this is another angle of appreciation, is aside from her natural quality of humility and wishing to go further, wishing to go further, wishing to go further, progress. She has a, we're seeing that this exchange between the perfected soul and another perfected soul as husband and wife. Very instructive, very, very interesting and very instructive. So, how does she feel and how does she speak and the mood in which she speaks, and then now the beginning of 24 is her husband. Now, her husband is an amazing personality, pure devotee, incredible mystic, and of the nature of a parental affection kind of person, as is Devahuti. Again, going back to prior to their marriage, Lord Vishnu said, you two are of like quality and they're of like quality. Still of like quality, Kardama is uniquely capable of giving shelter to Devahuti when she's requesting it. So he pacifies her in the following way. Recalling the words of Vishnu, the merciful sage Kardama replied as follows to Swayambhuva Manu's praiseworthy daughter, Devahuti, full of renunciation. Now, she's speaking words of humility. And when there's humility, then naturally, like with knowledge, there's some detachment from the temporary, or at least aspiring for detachment from the temporary. The sage said, do not be disappointed with yourself, O princess. Now, she's not a princess anymore. She's the wife of Kardama Muni. But he's reminding her of her quality, her ancestry and her, you know, praiseworthy quality, princess. You are actually praiseworthy. The infallible Supreme Personality of God will shortly enter your womb as your son. Purport. Kardama Muni encouraged his wife not to be sorry, thinking herself unfortunate, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his incarnation, was going to come from her body. Text 3. You have undertaken sacred vows. God will bless you. Hence, you should worship the Lord with great faith. This is how to get fearlessness. Through sensory control, religious observances, austerities, and gifts of your money in charity. So these are, using Prabhupada's term, high-grade activities, which, when connected with bhakti, yield transcendental fruit, not just material piety. There's, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's three levels of piety. Material, liberation-oriented, and there's activities corresponding to each of them. But even the material piety category, that if the intention behind them and the purpose of the fruits yielded by them is service to the personality of God, that they act in a fully spiritual way. So he's advising her to do those things, not to abandon them, in a fully spiritual way. Purport. In order to spiritually advance or to achieve the mercy of the Lord, comma, like those are synonymous, one must be self-controlled in the following manner, colon, he must be restrained in sense gratification and must follow the rules and regulations of religious principles. Without austerity and penance, and without sacrificing one's riches, one cannot achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Kardama Muni advised his wife, quote, you have to factually engage in devotional service with austerity and penance, following the religious principles and giving charity. Then the Supreme Lord will be pleased with you and he will come as your son. And she's doing all these things already. But he's just reminding her. Text 4. The personality Godhead being worshipped by you will spread my name and fame. He will vanquish the knot of your heart by becoming your son and teaching knowledge of Brahman. Purport. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to disseminate spiritual knowledge for the benefit of all people, he generally descends as the son of a devotee, being pleased by the devotee's devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the father of everyone. No one, therefore, is his father, but by his inconceivable energy accepts some of the devotees as his parents and descendants. It is explained here that spiritual knowledge vanquishes the knot of the heart. Matter and spirit are knotted by false ego. This identification of oneself with matter, which is called Hridaya Granthi, exists for all conditioned souls. And it becomes more and more tightened when there's too much affection for sex life. The explanation was given by Lord Rishabhdev to his sons, that this material world is an atmosphere of attraction between male and female. That attraction takes the shape of a knot in the heart, and by material affection it becomes still more tight. For people who hanker after material possession, society, friendship, and love, this knot of affection becomes very strong. It is only by Brahma Bhavana, from the verse, the instruction by which spiritual knowledge is enhanced, that the knot in the heart is cut to pieces. No material weapon is needed to cut this knot, but it requires bona fide spiritual instruction. Kardama Muni instructed his wife Devahuti that the Lord would appear as her son and disseminate spiritual knowledge to cut the knot of material identification. Chidyante Hridaya Granthi, same as Canto 1, Chapter 2. The source of bondage is this situation with themselves as A and B, separate from Krishna. B, the enjoyer of Krishna's property. With that spirit, the living entity comes to the material world and becomes enveloped in false ego. And then from false ego, the rest of the package, the subtle and gross body. That according to guna and karma, mutates from time to time, as through passage of time in different species of life, from one lifetime to the next lifetime. So we can blame false ego, but we are awarded false ego because of rebellious spirit. So the cure is to reduce that rebellious spirit, eventually eliminate the rebellious spirit by association with those who have the capacity to make available spiritual sound vibration. That's the medium of Hridaya Granthis, this knowledge. Knowledge not in the sense of information, but knowledge in the sense of the power of spiritual reality coming to us through sound. And when the receiver is on and that broadcasting is going, then this knot in the heart can be cut. Here it's described in that particular way. This is chapter 24. In later chapters, it describes that the power of bhakti can dissolve the subtle body. So it's a very important message, and without the power of bhakti, we're stuck. Even if one goes high with high grade activities or aspiring for becoming one with God or whatever people do, the power of bhakti is the only means of dissolving this false ego. And how does that bhakti become awakened? Through sound. Through that sound vibration, Krishna is present, and Krishna contact with the soul. The soul, the potency is there for the soul to become attracted again to Krishna. The affinity for Krishna instead of the affinity for matter. And then through the medium of serving him, then the potential is there, the potency is there for false ego to become cut or dissolved. But the advice given by karma to Devahuti is actually for us. These activities, sense control, religious observances, following codes of conduct, and all those things that are important, alone they're external. Combined with bhakti, it's simple metaphor is making wet wood into dry wood so it can ignite. The igniting force is bhakti. And the other activities are helping the wet wood to become dry, helping us to become ignitable by bhakti, because bhakti is pure and as potent as Krishna is. It's Krishna's internal potency. Bhakti Devi. Karma's position is really wonderful. It describes him as all-knowing. And, of course, the one that's all-knowing is the personality of Godhead. But his speech is preceded by his remembering what Lord Vishnu said. His qualification is such that Lord Vishnu talks to him. He appears before him and speaks to him and instructs him and tells him what's coming attractions and the unfolding of his life. And who is Devahuti even before he meets Devahuti. So he's remembering all these things, and then in a affectionate and dutiful way, bringing her to that position of fearlessness. How? Through sound vibration. To do what? To take full shelter in the personality of Godhead, because you take shelter in something other than the personality of Godhead, then there's fear. So he's appropriately praising her because she's praiseworthy, remembering what Lord Vishnu said. But it's not just flattery, it's helping her to remember her real position and her the potential of achieving the perfection of life, and is supporting her in that way. So that it's fantastic. This is husband and wife, but it can also just be friend and friend, or persons that understand another individual, how to help them. What can we do? Ultimately, the deliverer is Krishna, but we can extend Krishna's message, the process of bhakti, and be the well-wisher of others. And then others can say yes, no, or maybe, or whatever they want to say. In Devahuti's case, it's yes. It's not all. Yeah, 9 more chapters of exchange. But she's moving. according to the message that she hears from her qualified husband to whom she is attached. And she comes to the stage of perfection that we heard from this chapter 33. And so, as I mentioned the other day, we're hearing all of this in slow motion, meaning step by step by step. And as in some cases, it's, you know, all the steps are missed. It just says, and then, you know, they went back to Godhead. To your devotion awakened within their heart, and they went to Krishna. It's how that process of going back to Godhead works through the association of qualified persons and our taking up our activities in a prescribed manner, step by step, we're seeing it. And as well as her introspection, her humility, specifically speaks of her renunciation, although feeling the opposite, which is her humility. Very instructive. I like Srimad Bhagavatam. Any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, in terms of this acceptance and progress, even though I keep hearing I have to have patience and gradually we will be able to go forward, at times it's so overwhelming, the current situation, that I would never be able to go out of this. It's the anatta conscious.
What was the punchline? The very last phrase, therefore, I'm trying to hear.
My question specifically is, how do I cultivate the patience and not really in terms of expectation that I have to be at the pure devotional service platform?
Well, there's two large categories. One is be impatient and suffer. And the other is hear instructions and be patient. It's easy to choose that one. And otherwise we suffer. So, and we don't like to suffer, so, you know, go over to the hear instructions. And one of the things that helps with being patient is confidence in the process. I'm tired yet. The process moves because the living entity mercifully, and how swiftly that movement goes is not in my hand, but I have full confidence in the process. Just stay close to the process, and according to Krishna's indication, I'll move. So the expectation is, should just change the channel to, the expectation is Krishna's kind. With the process effective, it works, then I just stay faithful to the process and await Krishna's mercy. You can be eager for Krishna's mercy, but you wait for Krishna's mercy. And it comes however he wants to deliver it, at whatever time he wants to deliver it. So the expectation side, just move it to Krishna's kind, and with faith in the bhakti process, I'll become elevated, benefited, for sure. It's faith in the process. and knowing that the nature of Krishna is he's kind. The other is this, you know, it's passion. It's fruitive. And, you know, passion is there in all conditioned souls, and we want results, and especially, you know, modern times, we want results instantaneously or very quickly. But things that are, we didn't get into this material condition quickly. We're not going to get out of the material condition quickly. It's going to take cultivation. And cultivation specifically of our relationship with Krishna. So invest in the relationship with Krishna part, not in the results part. Invest in bhakti, not in passion. Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, like you mentioned that we didn't get into this material condition quickly. Do you expound on that?
Sure. How long have we had births and deaths in this world? Our conditioning is thick. How thick? Who can say? Super thick. So to get to where we are didn't come overnight. To get out of where we are isn't going to happen overnight. We have a lot of bondage to deal with. A lot of contamination of heart to deal with. So that's something that helps with the patience department. I'm responsible for my misdeeds. How many lifetimes of misuse of free will and the consequences of those misuse. I'm responsible for that. So it's not like a child. I want something instantly. I take responsibility for my past deeds, and therefore there's influences acting in my life that are due to those past misdeeds. Not just the reactions, but propensities. Guna and karma type. So we tolerate and continue with the bhakti process. Yeah.
My thinking is like we turned our back on Krishna and then we fell down. We turned our back on Krishna.
We turned our back on Krishna.
Krishna in the spiritual world. And then the soul has taken birth here. So that is like appearing to be very short-term, very instantaneous.
Well, that's incorrect. It's not short-term. Not short-term.
Maharaj, you mentioned that Lord Vishnu appears and he says to Kardamuni and Devahuti that...
No, he says to Kardamuni.
Kardamuni that you two of are my nature. So can you...
No, he doesn't say that.
Okay, I might have heard it wrong.
Yeah, I think you did.
And
what he said is, Kardamuni is in the forest... undergoing austerities so that he can fulfill the instruction of his father, Lord Brahma, to produce qualified praja, to help fill up the universe. That's what he has, a prajapati. So, obedient to his father, he goes to the forest. And he's a qualified, pure devotee who desires not just to have children, but to have Lord Vishnu as his son. Pretty amazing. And so Lord Vishnu appears after some austerities and dhyan yoga. Lord Vishnu appears before him. Kardam is overwhelmed, pays obeisances, sees the Supreme Lord, offers prayers. Lord Vishnu says, this is the part, just Kardama in the forest. You've satisfied me very much. I know your heart. You desire me as your son. I will become your son. To have me as your son, you require a qualified wife. Devahuti will come here with her father in a few days. She's as qualified as you are. She'll be a suitable wife for you. So just say yes. And some of the things. Does that clarify?
And the second question is, the purport says that the Supreme Personality will appear and he will spread the knowledge of Brahman. So I was just wondering.
Yeah, Sankhya philosophy.
It's knowledge
of Brahman. It's just another way of saying the same thing. It's a particular way of knowledge of transcendence. Knowledge of Brahman. Knowledge of perfection. Don't get stuck, please. When you give knowledge of Brahman, you say what Brahman is. It's part of Sankhya. It's knowledge of transcendence. The spiritual realm, in a broad sense. Don't get stuck. He's teaching pure devotional service. To understand pure devotional service, you have to just see the distinction between matter and spirit, which is what Sankhya is. Don't get stuck. Okay. So the Prabhupada Ki Jai.